stand by for Howie Wing, a saga of aviation. At a long table in a room at administration headquarters, the faculty board is passing on Buzz Rondell's fitness as a flying cadet. Rondell is accused of selling a prohibited text to his roommate, Reg Tilford. The evidence hinges on Howie Wing's word. And now, Rondell is trying to prove that Howie Wing's word is worthless. His proof is Howie's own statement denying receipt of orders to remain on the ground before he left the airport at Austin, Texas. The board has reconvened with Colonel Thompson, its senior officer. Beside him sits Captain Harvey, while other members of the board sit further down one side of the table. Rondell, standing at attention, confidently faces the board members. A few paces away, Howie Wing listens to the proceedings, fearfully distraught. Captain Harvey, have you verified the facts as outlined in Mr. Rondell's statement?
I have, sir. The operator of the teletype machine at the Austin airport says that the message came in at 12:15.
And Mr. Wing took off from Austin at 12:30, 15 minutes later?
Yes, sir.
And this message definitely ordered flying cadets Dinsmore and Wing to remain on the ground?
That's right, sir.
But, gentlemen, I swear I never saw that message.
Were you in the airport office?
Yes, sir. But I understood that no orders had arrived from Randolph Field.
I can't understand your attitude, Mr. Wing. You knew that a commercial transport had been grounded because of bad weather at San Antonio. Our records show that the weather at Austin was getting bad. And yet you apparently made no effort to determine whether or not you had received orders from Randolph.
I inquired, sir. I was told definitely that no one had seen any orders.
That's ridiculous, Mr. Wing. The order was found in your own logbook.
But I have no idea how it got there, sir.
That proves my point, Colonel Thompson. Wing lied about those orders, and he's lied about me. I didn't sell that pony to Tilford. He got it himself. When I found out that Wing had flown Dinah Cavendish up from Austin, he wanted to get me kicked out of school so I couldn't report him.
That's not so, sir. I reported finding the pony in Mr. Rondell's room before I left for Austin.
Yeah, but you were sore because I wanted to dance with your girl.
That's an out-and-out lie, Rondell. In the first place, I don't have a girl. In the second place, Dinah Cavendish dances with whoever she pleases.
Well, I don't have to say any more. Those orders show what kind of a guy you are.
That's enough, Mr. Rondell. Mr. Wing, you may leave the room and wait outside.
But please believe me, sir. I swear I never saw...
Wait outside, Mr. Wing.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mr. Rondell, we can wind up your case in a hurry. Your attempt to confuse the issue is quite obvious. We know that the pony you rented to Tilford for $85 actually belongs to you.
But Colonel Thompson, why?
We know that the $85 that Tilford gave you was turned over to the Donaldson Motor Car Agency in San Antonio. In the light of what has transpired, there is no reason for us to believe that you did not use that pony or a similar one in your own math examination.
Tilford told you that. Why, you can't trust
him. Now, wait a minute. Where did you get that $85 that you paid Donaldson?
Why, I... I got it from home.
No, you didn't, Rondell. I took the trouble to call your father on the phone and ask him.
Mr. Rondell, no one in this world trusts a deceitful cheater. No one has any respect for a man who will do the kind of underhanded thing you have been caught at. We can't use fellows like that in the Army. You're going to discover that no one can use a man who will do such things. Commercial aviation, any kind of business, will not tolerate dishonesty.
I made a good record as a pilot.
We're looking for men down here, not pilots. Have you any witnesses you want to call in your defense?
No, sir. I haven't.
Mr. Rondell, it is my duty to inform you that this board recommends you be relieved from further flying training and discharged from the military service. The findings of this board will be forwarded to Washington for review. You may go now.
Okay.
Gentlemen, I suggest we call in Flying Cadet Wing and try to get at the bottom of this matter.
Very good, Colonel. Have Flying Cadet Wing come in, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. Flying Cadet Wing.
Right.
Mr. Wing, you've been charged with making a false statement, disobeying a flight order, and carrying an unauthorized civilian in government aircraft.
Yes, sir.
We realize that your motive in flying Miss Cavendish from Austin to Randolph Field was one of the highest. However, we cannot overlook the fact that regulations were violated.
Why didn't you call Randolph Field for permission to fly that sir under Randolph?
Well, Captain Harvey, to be frank, I didn't think about it.
Why have you repeatedly denied receiving those orders?
It's true, sir. I didn't know orders were sent to Austin grounding us.
But confound it, Wing. They're right here in your own logbook.
I don't know how they got there, sir.
That's incredible, Wing.
Beyond belief.
It's the absolute truth, sir. I received no such orders. I never saw them until you opened my logbook.
How do you think they got in your logbook?
I tell you, sir, I have no idea.
This has gone far enough. It might be possible to overlook a violation of flight regulations under the circumstances, but to come in here and baldly make a false statement cannot be overlooked. This board can do nothing but recommend your discharge.
May I say something,
hey,
sir?
What's right?
Just
here,
a moment. Close the door, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry to bust in like this, sir, but I've got some information about this matter. I'd like to tell it to you.
This is Flying Cadet Dinsmore, sir.
Yes, sir. I want to tell you about Harvey Wing and those orders.
This is very unusual, Mr. Dinsmore. Do you want to make a statement for Mr. Wing?
Yes, sir, I do. I understand Mr. Wing has been accused of taking off from Austin after getting orders to remain on the ground.
Yes, that's right. He denies ever having seen the orders.
He never did see them. I can swear to it.
What?
Tell us what you mean by that, Mr. Dinsmore.
Well, it's all my fault, Colonel Thompson. I've been a big heel and just realized it.
What about the orders?
Well, Mr. Wing sent me into the airport office at Austin to see if any orders had come in from Randolph. I went inside, and just as I got in the office, the order started coming over the teletype machine.
Yes?
The operator tore the order off the machine and handed it to me, sir. I didn't look at the orders, sir.
You mean you didn't read them?
Exactly. I didn't read them. Instead, I went outside and told Mr. Wing that I hadn't seen the orders.
But why did you do that?
Well, it sounds pretty cheap, but I had a grudge against Howie, and I thought I'd get even. It's a rotten thing, gentlemen, I admit it. I guess it must have been crazy to even think of it. I didn't realize that the weather was so bad, and I don't think Howie did either.
This is a very strange admission, Mr. Dinsmore.
I didn't realize Howie would get into so much trouble about it. The most I thought he'd get would be a reprimand.
In other words, you knew the orders had come in, but you purposely didn't read them?
Yes, Captain Harvey.
That's going a long way around to avoid telling the truth. But look here, Mr. Dinsmore. How did those orders get in Mr. Wing's logbook?
Yes, sir. That's what I'd like to know.
I think I can explain that, sir. I flew back from Austin the next day. Of course, after Howie had taken off, I went in and got the orders. I brought them back here with me and stuck them in the drawer of my desk. Rondell later came into my room, and we were talking about Howie getting grounded for returning that night.
Mm-hmm.
I showed the order to Rondell and then stuck it back in my drawer. My guess is that Rondell went into my room and took them. I looked for them last night, and they were gone. This morning, I was telling Mr. Jones about it, and he said he was walking down the hall night before last and saw Mr. Rondell come out of our room.
You think Rondell took the order and put it in Wing's logbook?
I'm sure of it, sir. He threatened right in front of me to get Howie. Said if he was going to be kicked out of Randolph, Wing would go with him.
How do we know that you didn't put those orders in Wing's logbook?
No, sir, I'm sure he wouldn't. Duke and I have had a lot of arguments, Colonel, but I'm sure he wouldn't pull a dirty trick like that on me.
After what I've done, I wouldn't blame him for thinking the worst. Gentlemen, I have no excuses for my action. I'm not trying to make any. When I came down here to Randolph Field, I had the wrong slant, I guess. It wasn't until last night that I woke up and realized how much of a heel I'd been.
Thanks, Duke, for coming clean.
It was about time I did something decent. I'm sorry I got you in this jam, Howie.
Well, that's that.
Mr. Dinsmore, I admire your courage in coming in here and admitting your mistake and telling us the truth. Both of you gentlemen may return to your barracks.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, Colonel, this has been about the weirdest faculty board that I ever sat on.
It's worse than a crazy quilt, Harvey. You know, it took nerve for Dinsmore to come in and speak up as he did.
Yeah. The youngster has nerve.
Neither Wing nor Dinsmore has done anything that is malicious or dishonest. It can be put down to clash of personalities and exuberance of the flying cadet spirit. On the contrary, what Rondell did was definitely malicious.
I agree with you heartily, Colonel Thompson.
If we can't build men at Randolph Field, develop character and pride of accomplishment, I'd say our efforts were a failure. There's no question about Wing's good record, and Dinsmore has certainly displayed an admirable trait by coming in here and giving us the whole story.
They're two mighty good men, sir. I'd hate to lose them.
I think we all agree on that. However, regulations are regulations, and if they can be violated at the whim of any flying cadet, we may as well not have them.
Yes, sir, that's true. And there's no reason why we should penalize a violation one time and overlook it the next.
I don't intend that we shall. I'm going to issue orders that both Wing and Dinsmore be confined to the post for the balance of their training period at Randolph Field, and that they be denied all ordinary and special privileges.
Yes, sir.
They are both to carry on their flying and academic duties.
I'll see that the order is issued, sir.
Very good, gentlemen. I declare the board adjourned.
Well, man, that was quite a session.
You know, Harvey, when something like this comes up, I always think back to my days as a cadet at West Point. Why, say, these flying cadets are sissies compared to what we did.
Is that so, sir?
Just a bunch of sissies. Why, I recollect one time when I was at the Point, there was a fellow in my class who took a great dislike to me.
It's probably a good thing that Howie Wing and Duke won't hear the story that Colonel Thompson is about to tell. It might give them some new ideas. Anyway, we're mighty glad to know that the two flying cadets will continue their training at Randolph Field. Join us for fun and thrills in the next episode of Howie Wing, A Saga of Aviation.